from Matthew chapter 21, verses 4 to 13. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, and a foal of an ass." And the disciple went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread the garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna, the son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." And when he had first come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables and money changers, and the seats of them that sold those, and said unto them, "It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Well, good evening, everyone. I'm always thankful for these opportunities that I have. Very thankful for the young men that have led singing recently and for their participation in our services. That's always encouraging to see. You know, Jesus is going to come to town. And here in Matthew chapter 21, we find Jesus come to town in Jerusalem. But what I'd like you to think about for a second is when Jesus comes back for that second time. That's what we believe, right? That Jesus is going to come back to this earth. The second coming of Christ, Jesus is going to come to town. And what I think that we're going to look at this evening is the idea that there are some parallels that I think that we're going to see when Jesus comes to Jerusalem. There's going to be some parallels of what he's going to do when he comes back at the end of time. Jesus is going to come to town. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? You know, I think that Jesus, he showed up to many towns, and he received different reception in different places that he went. Sometimes he was rejected, sometimes he was accepted, and of course, many times there was a mixture of whether to accept or reject Jesus as the Son of God. But we know that Jesus is going to come back at that second coming. How will we receive Jesus? How will Jesus receive us? And when we look at his reception in Jerusalem, I think there are some things that will be the same, but some things that will be different. Here in Matthew chapter 21, we find Jesus returning to Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, it talks about when Jesus actually comes back that second time. It says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." It's amazing how many times people will try to predict when Jesus will come back to town, when he'll come back to this earth, when he'll come back to the second coming. And the Bible seems to be very plain. No one knows. But we're going to say we know anyway. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back to this earth, but what I can say is he's going to come back. Jesus is going to roll back into town just like he rolled into Jerusalem. And the question is, will we be ready? Are we ready for Jesus to come back to town? In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Are we eagerly waiting for Jesus to come back? Coming back to town. The first thing that I'd like to look at that might be a little bit the same, but might be a little bit different, is what we find in verses 8 and 9. When Jesus comes back to town, when he comes back to this earth, you know what? He's going to be honored. He's going to be honored. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he comes back the second time, he will be honored. And it doesn't matter if you want to honor him or not, he will be honored when he comes back. When Jesus came to certain towns throughout his ministry, he was not always accepted. Many times he was rejected. But when Jesus comes back the second time, he will be honored, and you will not have a choice. He will be honored. He will be given that respect and the prestige and all the honor and praise that he is due because he is the Son of God. Unfortunately, many people did not accept Jesus as he came from town to town when he was on this earth. In Luke chapter 4, we find one of those occurrences. In Luke chapter 4, verses 28 and 29, it says, "So all of those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the bottom of the hill on which their city was built, on the edge of the hill where their city was built, and that they might throw him down over the cliff. Jesus is not accepted in every town that he went into, but when Jesus comes back the second time, he will be acknowledged, praised, and honored as the Son of God. Let's look, when it comes to Jerusalem, how they receive him. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, it says, "A very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" They're giving Jesus that honor and prestige. They're giving him the respect that he's due, the honor that he is due, and even in their statement, they are basically acknowledging that he is the Savior. Well, what does Hosanna mean? Well, originally, probably, it was believed to be an appeal of deliverance. The deliverer, Hosanna, we are being delivered. It was an expression of joy and praise, of deliverance that has been granted, or an anticipation of being granted deliverance. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, this was perhaps his final presentation of himself to Israel, and many people realized who he was and what he was all about. He was given the honor and praise and respect that he was due. The question is, will we do the same? Does Jesus have the honor and respect of ourselves when we go throughout our lives? Do we handle him as many of these people handled him when he came to Jerusalem, that we give him all of the respect and honor that we possibly could? You know, when I read through Psalms, I think many of those Psalms are just designed and just given and written in such a way to give honor and praise to God. Of course, that's their purpose. In Psalm 71, verse 8, it says, "Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." The psalmist said in Psalm 75, and verse 1, it says, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare your name is near." Will we honor the Son of God the way that he should be honored? Do we give him the honor, the respect, the worship, the praise, the preference that we should? When Jesus comes to town, how will he be received? See, when Jesus comes back the second time, in Jerusalem, I think these individuals had a choice. They had a choice as Jesus was rolling up on them, what they were going to do, how they were going to honor him, how they were going to respect him, how they were going to praise him. They had a choice. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes back the second time, you're not going to have a choice. He will receive the honor that he deserves, whether you like it or not. Let's look in Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. It says, "For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess.'" Do you think you're going to get out of this world without honoring God? Some people try to. They say, I don't know about this Jesus, I don't care about this Jesus, and he's not going to be part of my life. Well, when he comes back to town the second time, there's not going to be a choice. He will be acknowledged as the Son of God. He will be honored as the Son of God. He will be respected as the Son of God. It doesn't matter what you think. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, starting in that passage a few verses before in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, it talks a little bit about what Jesus has done for us. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, it says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him." Who's he talking about? Jesus. "And given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of the Father, of God the Father." Do you think you're going to get out of honoring God and the way he's going to win at the end of the day? Don't you want to be on Jesus' side? Certainly there's no other side that we should be on. We should be ready when Jesus comes into town to honor and respect him, not only when he comes into town, but throughout our lives. We shouldn't wait until he comes. We should be honoring him every day of our lives. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." He's the only one. And yet when we look through our society, it's amazing how they treat Jesus. And we look at all the ways that Jesus was received as he went across this plan of life, but as he went city to city, the way he was received, the way he was accepted, the way people talked about him. Certainly those are not the ways that he should not have, that the ways that he should have been treated. He should have been honored everywhere he went. He should have been respected everywhere he went. He should have been worshipped everywhere he went. He should have been praised everywhere he went. He should have been given preference everywhere he went. But many times, that's not what happened. It should have been from the beginning. As we see in his birth in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, from his birth, people should have acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God. But then suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." This is the celebration of the Son of God. This acknowledgement of the Son of God. That day when Jesus came into Jerusalem, those people whose lips said Hosanna, they rose that day to honor Jesus as the appointed one from the house of David. The one that the prophets had spoken about. The one that they would hope would fill all the messianic prophecies, and the one that they wanted to serve, even though some of them might have been misguided. But when Jesus comes back to town, he will be honored. See, throughout this life, you have a choice whether you're going to honor him or not. But when he comes back that second time, I believe that choice will be eliminated. Will you not honor Jesus today, but every day of your life? So when he comes back, we will be ready to give that praise, that honor that he is due. Number two is the second thing that's going to be a little different than his coming in Jerusalem is that Jesus is not going to be ignored. See, when we look at the passage in verses 10 and 11, it seems like everyone is acknowledging Jesus, but it seems like there's some questions on who he might be. In verses 10 and 11 of chapter 21, it says, "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved," saying that the city was moving. They knew that Jesus had come to town, but they said, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." You know, as Jesus traveled to many cities, many people just flat out ignored Jesus. Many people walked away from Jesus. In John chapter 6, we see a group of people that hear the words of Jesus, and they say, "We don't want any part of this." And they walked away from Jesus after following for a time. But when Jesus comes back the second time, he will not be ignored. And certainly no one's going to be asking the question, "Who is this?" Everyone will know on that day when Jesus comes to town, when he comes back the second time, when he comes back to earth, he will not be ignored. You know, there's many times where it looks like it appears that Jesus was ignored or written off as not the Son of God. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, he kind of returns to his hometown. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. Seems like they're writing them off. Saying, "We know you. We know your family. We know you." They're writing them off. What are they trying to do? They're trying to ignore Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." Ignored, rejected, disregarded throughout his life in many cases, in many situations. And people said, "No, he's not the Son of God." When he comes back the second time, there will be no question, and he will not be ignored. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, it starts to talk a little bit about Jesus coming back. It says, "Since it is a righteous thing," in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, it says, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay evil with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." Do you really think that when Jesus comes back, with this description that the Bible gives, it says, "When the Lord is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire,
you think there's going to be some questions on what's going on here? There could be, but I'm saying that Jesus is not going to be ignored on that day. How can you ignore the mighty angels? How can you ignore this flaming, fiery vengeance that's going to be taken on those that do not obey the gospel?
You see, people try to put that word out of the Bible, obey. They don't like that word, obey. The word that they tend to like in the denomination world is believe. It says obey. He's going to come back and take vengeance on those that do not obey, that submit themselves to what God has said. God will not be ignored on that day. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will not be ignored on that day. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise." Jesus will not be ignored. "And the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Jesus, when he comes back, when he rolls back into town, when he comes back, he will not be ignored. He will not be disregarded. He will not have this rejection. He's not going to go through any of those things. When you go throughout your life, will you give the attention to Jesus that he needs? Will you give the attention to Jesus that he needs today? Because when Jesus was going from town to town, what were people doing? Some people accepted, but many people rejected. Many people disregarded. Many people ignored. You have your chance to give your attention to Jesus, to focus your attention on him and his teaching. Because if you don't do it now, your attention will be directed to Jesus when he comes back to town. And he will not be ignored on that day. Number 3, it just appears that Jesus surprises some people. In verses 12 and 13, he's at Jerusalem, and it appears he's going into the temple. In verse 12, it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" You know what, when I look out to the world, it seems like there's a lot of confusion on what to do in terms of worship and what to do with respect to God and the way that we should live our lives. You know, when Jesus comes again, he's going to eliminate all the surprises when it comes to morality. Now, I believe he's already done this. He's already given us his inspired word that instructs us in all things that are good and right. He gives us all things that we can live a righteous life, that we can do the things that he wants us to do. But you know what? When you go out into the world, it seems like we can never figure out what's right and wrong. When we go out into the world, people are all worshiping different ways. And when we look at when he comes into the temple, what are they doing? They're selling stuff in the temple. And I can't tell what these people's mindset was. Maybe they just wanted to make a quick buck. Maybe selling stuff, this is perfectly okay. Acceptable behavior. It's all right for us to sell stuff in the temple. Man, this is a surprise, some of these people. When he rolled into town, coming in on this donkey, he came in, he went into the temple, and what did he do? He overturned the table. You think these people were surprised? Maybe some of them were. Maybe some of them knew they were doing wrong the whole time, but maybe some of them thought, this is okay. That's what I think people do in the denomination. This is okay. This is all right. You know, when Jesus comes back to town, he's going to surprise some people. He's going to surprise some people. And I'm not happy that Jesus is going to surprise people when it comes to morality, but he's going to eliminate all confusion. You know why? Because the judgment's going to happen when Jesus comes back to town, and he's going to let everyone know what they have done right and wrong. And what's unfortunate is he's already written it down. He's already given us all we need. And what people do is they reject his word throughout their lives. See, when judgment comes, when Jesus comes back to town, I don't want to be surprised. I don't want to be caught off guard. I don't want Jesus overturning the tables on me and going, "Kyle, you screwed up your whole life. All these things were wrong." And he turns the tables. He's given us everything that we need so that we can make sure that when he comes back to town, we're doing everything in a correct way. That we're doing everything in a way that would be acceptable to him. But you know what many people do? They say, "You know what? I'd rather be surprised on judgment day. When Jesus comes back to town, I might not know what he's going to expect. And if I don't know what he's going to expect, then he's not going to necessarily care what he finds." Jesus will care what he finds. He's going to care what he finds in your life. In John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, this Jesus, he says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The words which I have spoken will judge in the last day, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." He's already given it all to us. And many people turn it aside. They'll set it aside. And what will happen is when Jesus comes back to town, they're going to be caught by surprise. Now, when we read through the Bible and certain judgment scenes, it appears to me, and this is just my opinion, that these people almost seem surprised at the judgments that are laid down. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46. We have a judgment scene. Some are separated to the right hand. Some are separated to the left hand. The right are the lambs. The left are the goats. The right are the righteous. The left are those that are unrighteous. And he's addressing the unrighteous here, the ones on the left. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46, it says, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.'" This is where I sense the surprise. It says, "Then they also will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?'" Now maybe you don't take the surprise out of there, but it's a question they're asking. "When did we see you in these situations?" And then it says, "Then he will answer them, saying, 'Surely I say to you, unless you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." What? Why are we getting this punishment? Why are these things happening to us? Why are we on the left hand? Why are we going to the eternal fire? When did we see you in these situations? When did we not serve you in that way? And he gives them an answer. I think many people are going to be surprised on the judgment day when Jesus comes back into town, when Jesus lays out the things that are right and wrong, the things that he's left in his word that people have decided to ignore, the things that they've decided to lay aside. I think we find another scene in Matthew chapter 7. I sense a little surprise in these people's voices. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" God, haven't we done all these things that you want us to do? God, have we not did those things that you've asked us to do, those things that you want us to do, those things that you needed us to do? And he's basically going to say, "Is that really what I wanted you to do? Are you going to be caught on surprise on the judgment day because you haven't dedicated enough time to God's word to know what he's coming back to see? That when he comes back to town, there's certain things that he's going to want to see, and people are going to try to defend themselves and say, 'Whoa, whoa, whoa, I thought this was okay. I thought this was all right to have in my life. I thought this was all right to have in my life. I thought this was all right.'" And he's going to say no. You know, that's one of my fears, is I don't want to get surprised when the judgment day comes. See, people are going to get surprised because they're going to make their own standards, their own morality, they're going to make their own rules, and they're not going to look to God's word to direct their steps. You know, if we look in our society, there's all same kinds of things that are going on. In the religious world, in the secular world, everywhere. We have a society, as we look around, kind of like it says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." It seems like that's what's happened. There's many people in the religious world that I think that when we examine the words of God, they're saying, "Oh, do this thing, and it's evil, but they're trying to call it good." And they're saying, come on, do this, do this, do this. Wouldn't this be a great thing to bring in and worship God with? Wouldn't this be a great thing for us to get involved in? Wouldn't this be a great thing to do on the weekend? Is that what God's expecting to see? I think when Jesus goes back into town, he's going to surprise a lot of people. And that's so unfortunate. And that's not something that I like to say, but I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when Jesus rolls back into town. And I think a lot of people were surprised when Jesus came into Jerusalem. Here's this guy coming in on a donkey. Here's this guy that's getting all this praise. And then he rolls into the temple, and what does he do? He overturns the table. Will he overturn the tables in your life? Will he look at the things that you've done? See, when Jesus comes back to town, there'll be no more surprises about good and evil. And I'm not trying to say that it's subjective now. I think he's given us everything that we need in his word. But what I mean is he's going to straighten out a lot of these people that are confused. And he's going to go, it was in the book the whole time. It was in the book the whole time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what was done, whether good or bad. Well, what is good and bad? Well, the Bible lets us know. But I think some people are going to be surprised what God considers good and what God considers bad. Because what our society has tried to do is try to flip those. In the religious world, they've been trying to be flipped when it comes to worship, to the way we act, to the way we treat our neighbors, to the way we are our workers, to the way we're employees, to the way we're bosses. They try to flip everything upside down, say all these things are okay, and they're going to be surprised when it comes to Jesus' standards, and when Jesus goes back into town, he's going to let people know about it. Well, we study the words of God each and every day so that when Jesus comes back into town, we won't be surprised. When I look at Jesus coming in Jerusalem, certainly there's some things that I think will be similar. Certainly there's some things that I think that will be different. But when I look at it, when Jesus comes back, there's certainly going to be some things that are different. When Jesus comes back to town, when he comes back this second time, he will be honored. It will not be a suggestion. It will not be an option. You will not get a choice. When Jesus comes back this next time, when he comes back to town, he will be honored. When Jesus comes back to town the second time, you're not going to be able to ignore him or disregard him. He will have your attention. He will have your attention when he comes back this second time. He can have our attention all through our lives. Will your attention be set on God? When he comes back the second time, there's going to be no way for you to push him off, to ignore him, to put him off. He will have your attention. And when he comes back this last time, he's going to set it all straight. And he's going to surprise a lot of people when it comes to the things that are said in his word. Because many people have set it aside, many people have disregarded it, many people said, we're not going to read it anymore. And they are going to be shocked. And when Jesus rolls back into town, he's going to overturn the tables when it comes to worldly morality, what the world says is right and wrong. Will you be ready when Jesus comes back to town? Will you be ready when he comes back? Certainly I want to be ready. I want to honor Jesus every day of my life. Not only do I want to honor him every day of my life, I want to keep my attention fixed on him every day of my life. And certainly, when it comes to judgment, I do not want to be surprised with anything. You know, I always wonder about Matthew chapter 25. If you ask people the question, which side do you want to be on when it comes to judgment? It says he flips people off to the left hand and the right. Do we know enough of our Bibles that we would answer that question correctly? Well, I want to be on the right side. But I wonder sometimes, do we know what side we should be on? Do we make sure that we're ready so that when Jesus rolls back into town, we will be ready? Because certainly he will be. And when he comes back, he will be honored. He will have our attention, and he will set everything straight in the judgment. If you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening, or perhaps you need the prayers of the church, we'd love to help you in any way that we can this evening. If you want to become a New Testament Christian, you have to hear the words of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. There's no other way faith can be attained. It's amazing what our world says, but it has to come by hearing. And hearing what? The words of God. We have to believe. We have to repent. We have to confess, and we have to be baptized and live that faithful life that he wants us to live. If you're subject to Lord's invitation in any way, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.